Well, good evening, everybody. All right, there we go. Now we're on. Matthew is where we're going to be. Take a big chunk out of this chapter here. Matthew 21. It is the Lord speaking and dealing with kind of the same theme from multiple angles. But the idea is, God is a holy God, and His desire is to build a nation of holy people. And under the old covenant, under the covenant He makes with, say, Moses and the nation of Israel, according to Hebrews, He would say there's some faults in that covenant. It was a faulty covenant. And part of the reason it says that is because the relationship to God was based on race. It was based on how you were born. And the Lord desires a holy people who, like in a marriage, they choose righteousness. They choose to be a part of God's plan. And so in Matthew 21, Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer to the cross. And starting in verse 23, we'll start there. As He's in Jerusalem getting closer to the cross, there is a repetition of this this theme of the people that God has given the most to have turned it on its head, and now they're against the person they're supposed to be for, and the Lord is contending with the very people that should be receiving Him. And so this is where you're at, and He's going to say this a few different ways here. But Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, I'm going to try to give you as much as I can on this chapter, and hopefully you say, oh, well, so that's what He's saying. That's what He's talking about. And that's my goal. If it works, I hope it works. But Matthew 21:23, the Bible says, "And when He was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things?" Remember, He just cleaned out the temple. So He just turned over tables and he flushed out the animals and turned over the money changers' tables and told them, you know, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. And so they come and they say, so what? Who gave you authority to come in here and do this? That's verse 23. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, well, if we should say from heaven, He'll say unto us, why did you not then believe Him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And after their little conversation there, they look at Jesus, and they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And He said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? Now He's going to drive home the point even more. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not? Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. All right, I'm going to stop there because that completes one conversation here, or it's the first thought. And it's Jesus Christ dealing with these unsubmitted rebels that are leading a nation. And God's trying to build a holy nation. And now the people that are supposed to be teaching scriptures and teaching about the Messiah and teaching about the righteousness of God and teaching about spiritual matters and holiness and things like that, they have turned the whole thing into, turned all of the law into a way of justifying their own lives and a way really of making money off of people. And so now Jesus shows up and he is the fulfillment. He is the seed that's promised. He is the branch. He is the Holy One of Israel. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And these religious teachers, they question the Lord. Obviously, he's made a kind of a spectacle by flipping tables over and flushing out the animals. And they say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? Who gave you the right to come in here? And that's really the way you would say it, probably. Who gave you the right to come in here and do this to what we're doing? And he says, well, let me ask you a question, and then I'll answer your question if you answer my question. He said, the baptism of John, was that from God or is that from men? And they kind of look at each other because they know it's if they say from heaven, then he's going to say, well, why didn't you get baptized by John and follow me? And if we say from that John was just a regular guy, just kind of a nut, then the people think John is a prophet, so the people will be after us. So they're kind of caught between this rock and the hard place, and these Pharisees say, look at Jesus, and they say, well, we don't know. We don't know whether John was baptizing in something that God wanted him to do or not. And Jesus says, well, then neither do I. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. And then he says, and by the way, let me tell you something else. Let me give you a little story. It says, a man has two sons. He tells the one son, go do this. And the one son says, I'm not going to do it. But then he later on decides, you know what, that's a bad idea. And he goes and does it. And then he tells the other son, go do this. And then the other son says, I'll go do that. And he never does it. And then the question is very simple. Which one did the will of the Father? And they answer correctly. Well, the one that did what the Father asked him to do. Not the one that said he would do what the Father asked him to do. The one that did what the Father asked him to do. And he says, right. And then he makes the application. He says, so by virtue of that story, publicans and harlots, they're going to go into the kingdom of God before you because you have a profession. Yes, God, we will do this, but you never do it. They don't have a profession, yet somehow they end up doing the will of God. They all, when they heard John's preaching, they submitted to the will of God. They submitted to the righteousness of God. They said, yes, our lives are contrary to God. Yes, our lives are lived in sin. No, we don't want to continue in sin. And they submitted themselves to John's preaching, John's baptism, and they wanted to follow in John's preaching. And so the Lord says, well, the one that did the will of the Father is the one that initially said, no, he didn't. Wasn't going to do it, but he later on followed. So they understand that. Now they understand, these Pharisees understand, these religious leaders understand, he's talking about them. They're the ones. These are the ones that have no part, no business in the kingdom of God. They have no business with God's matters. They are so far from God, yet, ironically, they have all of the equipping and the tools to be close to God, yet they're so far. And so this is the point. These unsubmitted rebels, they're gonna argue with the Lord and you know, I won't go into too much of John's baptism, but you get the idea. This is what he's contending with. After the story, he tells him about two sons. He makes the point. And then he says this story. Because this is all, this whole thing deals with the same subject matter. It deals with God's desire to create a holy nation. And when he came into his own received him not, the nation of Israel. And they questioned, they interrogated, they rejected the very one that came to offer forgiveness of sins and all that. So verse 33, he says this. He says, here another parable. I mean, he just keeps like, here's a story. You guys are this person in the story. They understand that. He says, by the way, let me tell you something else. I'll tell you another story. Verse 33, here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. All right, I'm going to stop there. Who do you think the husbandmen are? It's Israel, and specifically, it's the people he's talking to. It's the religious leaders. These are the people who are responsible for the vineyard. And who do you think then the servants are that he's sending to the husbandmen? The prophets, right. So he sends these prophets continually. They go to these religious leaders. Jeremiah goes to the temple, preaches his heart out. And the people, they hate what he's saying. They don't believe their lives are contrary to God. They believe they're fine with God. They believe everything's going to be okay. And they can just keep showing up to the temple and continue living in sin. And so he says he sent them servants to gather the fruit out of the vineyard. And the husbandmen took the servants, verse 35, and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Who do you think the son is? It's Jesus Christ. And they caught him, verse 39, and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Very specific. I mean, out of the vineyard, he's gonna die outside of Jerusalem. You know all the characters. You know who they are. You know who he's talking about. Then he asks this question. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard, so the one that had the vineyard, hired the husbandmen, sent the servants, he shows up. And he finds out that they haven't done anything with the fruit. Not only that, they've hurt the people that he sent to them. Not only that, they killed his son when he sent his son. He says this, what do you think the husbandman is going to do with these people? That's verse 40. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do with those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. You just condemned yourself. You are those people. Verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So he asked him that question. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And now here's the final thing. When the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. They got it. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So this whole line of thought here, this chapter, I mean, you could really go back some in the chapter. We're not. I just wanted to show you all of these seemingly maybe separate instances if you read them individually, but the whole thing, the point of it is God is trying to build a group of holy people who willingly by faith, they trust the words of God. They seek out righteousness, the righteousness of God. In like a marriage situation, there's a mutual choice. God chooses to do what he's going to do. They choose the will of God. And so there's a mutual choice here. The problem with this relationship is these people haven't chosen God. They've been born into this relationship. And so now, not to say they couldn't choose God, but their relationship to God is based on how they were born. And now that you got these priests and these people teaching in synagogues, and they have no understanding of the scriptures, they have no understanding of the will of God, they have no understanding of their place in life and their place before God. And that this is one of the things where I was talking to some folks today about this. You know, if you want to... You want to get somewhere in just traveling. You want to get somewhere. You got a destination you want to go. Well, there's two things you have to know. Number one, where you're going, and number two, where you're starting from. Where are you? And in spiritual matters, it's the same thing. And this is the problem a lot of people have is that they don't know where they're starting from. They believe they have a relationship with God, or they believe they're starting from this place of you know, God's done these things for me and therefore I'm good with God, but they don't really understand where they're starting from. So consequently, they don't know what steps to take or where to move or where really they're even supposed to go. They just assume they're starting from a good place and they don't know exactly. That's why you need the Bible. That's why you need the words of God. That's why you need God to reveal, hey, this is where you are in life. You're not where you think you are. You're over here. And these folks, they think they're somewhere, but they're not there. And so when the fruition, the seed shows up, they reject the seed, and the Lord says, look, I am looking for holy people. I am looking for people who want to be a part of my will and my plan. And you guys, you're religious people, but you don't want to be a part of it. You don't want to be a part of it. Therefore, I'm going to take from you the kingdom of God. I'm going to give it to a nation that will bring forth the fruit of the vineyard, the fruit that I want to bear. And this is the holy nation, the priesthood of believers and the kingdom of saints that Peter talks about, and I think Randy started to talk about it in Sunday school. But this is the nation that he's looking for, and this is the nation he's going to build. And when you think about it, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the thing that will be left, I know I've said it before, but the thing that will be left from this world and this time, the thing that will be left, and really almost you could say maybe the only thing that's left for eternity and forever, is the people that follow God, the people that trusted Jesus Christ, the people that have eternal life. That's what's left. That's what is saved out of all of this. And so these folks, they want to combat Jesus Christ. They want to fight Jesus Christ. They don't know where they're starting from. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks them questions. He tells them parables, and that they finally understand it and they don't like it. And that really tells you, you have one of two choices when you're confronted with the truth and who you actually are. The first choice is you can get mad about it and you can reject what you heard and just get mad at the messenger. The second choice is you can humble yourself and say, yes, that is who I am. Yes, Lord, that is who I am. I do need your righteousness. I do need you. And this is what the publicans and Pharisees said, according to Jesus. They realized the error of their ways. And so, all that said, I just wanted to show you how a big chunk of scripture here and the theme and how this is all put together. And Matthew really does this throughout his book real quick. He's over and over, it seems like, pointing out how these people who should not, or who you wouldn't think would be a part of God's kingdom, are actually a part of God's kingdom. These publicans and Pharisees somehow are a part of God's kingdom because they realize and they accept who they are, and they accept God's actual will for their lives. You get Matthew showing that when Jesus Christ is born, the people that show up when Jesus Christ is young, remember the folks that show up? It's about to be Christmas time and all that. You got wise men that show up. You know why Matthew shows you that? And shows Israel that? Because it's wise men from a foreign country that come to see the King of the Jews, but there's no Jews showing up to see the King of the Jews. And that's the contrast. And over he'll show, hey, this centurion had this daughter or this servant and this Syrophoenician woman. She's not a Jew. She's a Syrophoenician woman. She had this devil-possessed daughter. And he keeps showing over and over, man, all these folks who you wouldn't think would be a part of God's kingdom, they are a part of God's kingdom, and they want to be a part of God's kingdom because they trust what God said. They believe what God said about their own lives, and they believe what God said about his own will for their lives, and they accept it and they receive it. Contrasted with folks who should have been receiving the light and they had centuries and history and of a relationship with God, and he comes into his own people and they're not interested. They've got their own thing going. And so as you get really closer to the cross in Matthew, he really starts tightening the screws on people who should have listened. They should have had every advantage to be close to the Lord, but they were just far away. But really, when you sort it out, it shows you God is trying to create and he's building a holy nation, a people for himself who willingly want to be a part of his plan, who willingly want to be a participant in what God's doing. And he's not going to take your first birth as something that's creditable as far as a relationship with God. It's why he says what he says with Nicodemus, you must be born again, that kind of thing. So anyhow, I just wanted to take a big chunk of scripture tonight and tie this stuff together to see how it's worked. I mean, this is the continued thought here that Matthew's putting out. So I hope that's helpful. It's a simple thought, but just illustrated from several points. That's going to be everybody. I mean, that's going to be everybody that's going to be involved in God's plan. That's all the people. Everybody. Yeah. Yeah, there is that. Yeah. No, it's a good question, Shirley, but it's a longer answer than right now. But it is a good question. It is. I know that all Israel shall be saved shows up and stuff like that, but there's a reason God kept warning Israel and telling them, look, you're gonna have to trust me. You have to trust me. This isn't just a you're born an Israelite, so therefore you're in. You have to trust me. And so there's a reason there's so much warning and things like that go on. But yeah, that's a good question, and the answer is longer than right now. So yes. Yes. All right. Let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father,